to ask everyone to find your seat, and it's good to hear everybody visiting. What a cheerful day. As Valerie plays through a couple more verses for us, let's take a few quiet moments and prepare our hearts. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy December 1st. I put on my Christmas tie today.
Yeah.
Open your songbooks to number 189 and we'll sing together. O Come All Ye Faithful. Joshua, please lead us.
Triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above.
I trust that we adore him in worship all throughout the day ahead, the week ahead, and this month. Welcome, everyone. Let's begin in prayer, and then there are several announcements today. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming down to us out of heaven and being born into the realm of mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you can relate to us in every way. And yet, without sin, you face everything that we have faced. And Father God, I ask you that we would love you for what you have accomplished for us on Calvary's cross, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Thank you that the shedding of his blood is what has been required, a just requirement by you as a substitute for our sin, that if we place faith in Christ, our sins are washed away. Father, we thank you for that, and I ask you that we would live in light of that as we enjoy the festivities of this month ahead. Oh, Father, I ask you that it wouldn't be about the secular and commercial part of it, but about Christ, our Savior, and that we would have the opportunity and take the opportunity to share Christ with others. Father God, I thank you for gathering us together today in this service, and I ask that in every aspect, in the observance of the Lord's Supper, in our singing as we have just done, as we fellowship together and open the scriptures together and pray like we are right now, in every aspect, I ask, Father, that we would worship you. You deserve that. I thank you in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I'd like to ask Joshua to come and lead us in. There's a song in the air, number 211. Follow along as Tom reads verses 38 through 46. If there are any ages 2 through 6, Children's Church is dismissed at this time also, right after the scripture reading. Luke 1, 38 through 46.
Good morning and welcome, everybody, and God bless all of you. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped into my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doeth magnify the Lord." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Joshua is going to lead us in a song that may not be very familiar, and yet it is "Gentle Mary Laid Her Child." Please remain standing for 214, "Gentle Mary Laid Her Child." You may be seated. I hope that you paid attention to what we just sang. It's biblically sound. It's doctrinally true. I guess it's a song that I would like to sing more than just once between now and Christmas time and each year ahead. That is a well-written song. Today we'll be looking into Luke chapter 1 as Tom read for us several verses there. We'll continue with that portion of Scripture. I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 7. Back in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, written around 700 B.C., this is what was written. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, may we consider afresh and with open hearts the truth that Emmanuel, God, is with us. That Jesus Christ not only came into the world and was born in Bethlehem and walked the streets of Judea and Galilee without sin, without wrong, perfectly as God, and then went to Calvary's cross for us, but rose again after his sacrificial death, and is alive now and with us now. All who believe, he has promised to dwell in us. And Father, we thank you for that. I ask you that we would not take that for granted, but that we would realize afresh that you, in a very humbling and miraculous way, came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ for us who don't deserve it. Father God, I ask you that we love you the more through this Christmas time and season together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today we'll look at a unique Bible passage and a special person who was faithful to her God. That's Mary. Her name comes from the Greek Maria, which is a shortened form of Miriam. The sister of Moses also carried this name, remember? Though a wonderful and delightful lady, Mary's name means bitterness. It may have been prophecy when her parents named her. If you're in Luke chapter 1, which I will go back there, I'd like to ask you to go to chapter 2, verse 34. Luke 2, 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It's possible that her name was prophetically given to her because of the grief she bore for the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who she bore as a baby into this world. In spite of that, Mary has been the most popular name given to girls ever since. Did you know that? Statistics show that. There is perhaps no lady in history around which so many legends have been invented. We do not worship Mary. Did I emphasize that well enough?
Yes.
The Roman Catholics and a few others do. In spite of attempts to deny this fact, every honest Catholic or former Catholic admit it. Friends in ministry that we went to Bible college with, Juanetta would remember Eric and Elisa Braun. Some of you have met them. We were in Bible college together. They now serve under the umbrella of Continental Baptist Missions as pastor and wife of Heritage Baptist Church in Duluth, Minnesota. A mission work. As adults, they became Christians. And they told us, I'll say it this way. They were doing their best when we met them to learn what the Bible says and set aside the heresy that they had been taught in Catholicism. That's not easy. They told Juanetta and me, we were lied to all our lives. Some of you can relate to that. Among many unbiblical teachings that they had to relearn about was about Mary. About this lady, Mary. Catholics build statues and idols of Mary and bow down to it and worship her as the Mother of God. And that is a quote from their writings. That title was given her by decree at the Catholic Council of Ephesus. Cathedrals are named after Mary. Artists have painted thousands upon thousands of pieces of Mary. Followers pray to her and ask for her intercession. Adherents worship her as forever a sinless virgin. Though we will see, she needed a Savior, just as all other sinners. And we read of her and Joseph having at least 6 other children. There's a lady here with us today who was shocked when we read that, because she was taught that Mary was a virgin all her life and sinless. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, let's look at that, just so you can see it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 and following. This is what we read. Matthew 13, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, near Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Yes, the brethren mentioned there were Jesus' half-brothers. Mary and Joseph had at least six children. The sisters aren't named, but they're in the plural, so we know there were four brothers and at least two sisters. Yes, the Catholics have lied to their adherents. Dr. Lorraine Bentner has written a classic volume documenting the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, and it looks like this. 32 pages in this book are written about Mary and the place they have given her. I'm going to read just a few excerpts so that you can see or hear for yourself what I'm talking about. And it grieves me that this is the case. This is in the 1931 edition, Redemptorist Fathers, published in Brooklyn, New York. Pages 82 and 83. And she is truly a mediatress of peace between sinners and God. Sinners receive pardon by Mary alone. That's one quote. Here's another one. Pages 127, 141, and 143. The Holy Church commands a worship particular to Mary on page 130. Many things are asked from God and are not granted. They are asked from Mary and are obtained, for she is even queen of hell and sovereign mistress of the devils. That is from one of their own writings. Here's another one on page 160. Mary is called the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. We remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, not Mary. All power is given to thee in heaven and earth so that at the command of Mary all obey, even God. And thus God has placed the whole church under the domination of Mary, page 180 and 181. No, in Philippians chapter 2, all knees will bow and all tongues will confess to whom? Jesus Christ, not Mary. These things grieve me, by the way. Here's one more. The whole Trinity, O Mary, gave thee a name above every other name, that at thy name every knee should bow of things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Page 260. So I'll quit at that. I just want you to realize we do not worship Mary. As you can see, we do not follow those inventions of heresy. We do not worship Mary, though she surely was a special person. She surely was. She was a person nonetheless. She was a person. Sometimes the pendulum swings all the way to the other side, doesn't it? And too often, because some have gone way too far and created a cultish false doctrine, like I just mentioned, others avoid the subject altogether. We're not going to talk about Mary. That's not right either. Such may be the case here. Even some otherwise good Bible teaching churches avoid much discussion about Mary because the Catholics and others have so warped and twisted it, the teachings of her. May we not be reactionists. I don't want to be a reactionist and neglect certain parts of the Bible just because someone else gets it wrong. Hope you understand. Did you know Mary was the only person to have been with Christ from his birth all the way to his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension up to heaven. The only person that we find in our Bibles that was with him all through that. That was Mary. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, I'll show you. She was present when the Lord ascended up to heaven. Acts 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And that is immediately after the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven. You can read the verses just before that. Our Christmas account, when the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary by God, begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. We're not going to read all of this. We'll read from there in the next few weeks, to be sure, though. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 1 and read verses 26 through 28, where it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Those of you who have heard the rosary and other liturgies may not like the sound of that, and I understand, but it's in the Bible, and we don't avoid it. Did you notice, though, that Gabriel said among women, not above women? Did you notice the difference? Mary was among women, not above women, as others claim. This highly favored woman was among women, not a deity, but special in God's eyes. And Gabriel addressed her in a very special way. Her response, we start in verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing or child which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." The word handmaid is doule in Greek. It is a female slave. That's what it means. Mary presented herself through Gabriel as God's female slave. Mary placed herself in God's hands at that point. It's very clear. Her betrothal to Joseph, her relationship with her family, her reputation in Nazareth, her very life were all in question if she said yes. But she did say yes. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She was a doule of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Have you ever considered placing yourself in God's hands to that degree? No matter what, your friendships, your relationships, your reputation, no matter what or where, that's something to consider. Mary is an incredible example for us. My dear friend Greg Westfall, who's now in heaven, used to say, "I've learned that I'd best not tell God, not there, Lord, because if I did, he'd have me there in a week." Oh, well, Greg knew that God is not a tyrant. That's not what Greg was saying. but that Greg had decided to follow God wherever that led and wherever that meant. That was Greg's desire. Well, once Mary was miraculously pregnant, she felt led of the Lord to go and visit her aged cousin Elizabeth. After all, Angel Gabriel had mentioned her to Mary, followed by the words, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The place that Zacharias and Elizabeth lived was in the hill country and a city of Judah, or Judea, as we read in verse 39. Oh, I'm sorry, maybe we haven't read that. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." This places them near Jerusalem. She traveled from Nazareth nearly 80 miles to the south. This was quite the trek. She didn't have a Jeep like we do. And once she greeted Elizabeth, another miracle happened. Verse 40 says, "And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" Notice that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And once again here, as led by the Holy Spirit, Mary heard the words, "Blessed art thou among women," not above women. Verse 42. Also in verse 43, Elizabeth speaks of Mary as the mother of my Lord. Not the other way around. Mary was not her Lord, but the Son of God who Mary carried was. I hope you understand that. Elizabeth emphasizes that Mary heard from the Lord through Gabriel, and she believed it. Now, that would be a hard bit of information to believe in every detail, but Mary had a great faith. She did. And then Mary, in the next 10 verses, gives us a beautiful hymn. We sometimes call it Mary's Magnificat from verse 46. "That my soul doth magnify the Lord." Right up front, Mary expresses honor and worship to God. What a wonderful example this young lady gave us. In her prayer or hymn, she cites 9 of God's attributes. And I made a list on the back of your bulletin if you want to fill them in. When you and I pray, do we tell of God's attributes? We should. When we sing songs in church, are we singing of God's attributes? We should. It ought to guide us as we select music. When we listen to Christian music, is it that kind that is about the Lord or about me or someone else or whatever? Well, let's consider these attributes along with Mary. By the way, Dr. Charles Ryrie says there are 15 discernible quotations from the Old Testament in these 10 verses. Mary's Magnificat, if you will. 15 discernible quotations from the Old Testament showing what? Showing how much the Old Testament was known and loved in the home in which Mary was raised. That's pretty special. I hope you raise your or grandchildren or children or whatever. I hope in your home the Word of God is open regularly and it becomes part of your daily life. And it was loved then because Mary loved the Word of God enough to make it part of her normal speech, that the home in which Jesus was reared was also a home saturated with Scripture. This also shows us that Mary's parents raised her with the biblical or the Bible, I'm sorry, as a familiar part of life. Here's attribute number one. God is a saving God. Mary recognized her own sinfulness and need of salvation. God is a saving God. Only God could save her. She looked for her Redeemer, who would later die on the cross for her personally. Verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She was a sinner in need of a Savior, just as you and I. And she expressed, God is a saving God. Praise him for that. Attribute number two, God is condescending. Mary was simply a betrothed young lady to a humble carpenter in a small town. She was not of nobility nor famous. God had reached down to her, verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She was a blessed lady. And yet, God condescended to her. God has reached down to you and me in the same way, dear friend. All he wants from us is for you to receive him, to take his gift of salvation and make it your own. Mary recognized that. None of us deserve it, nor did Mary. Attribute number three, God is mighty. Psalm 24, verse 8 says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Well, Mary proclaimed the omnipotence of God. He could do anything. Verse 49 says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." Mary knew her Old Testament well enough to in part cite Psalm 24, maybe. Attribute number four, God is holy. The second half of verse 49 says, "And holy is his name." God's holiness, I believe, is his overarching attribute. All the other attributes flow out of his holiness. The Old Testament attests to God's holiness. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, we read, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." The Old Testament attested to God's holiness. The angels attested to God's holiness in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." We find that also in the book of Revelation. Mary attested to God's holiness. He is infinitely above us in perfection. We are to emulate his holiness in this life. Though we'll never get it perfect, he's our standard. Attribute number five is God is merciful. Mary sang of God's tender mercy, that mercy that is it's driven by God's holiness, his compassion, and his loyal love for those who fear him. Verse 50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Here's what Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." Attribute number six, God is strong. Verse 51 says, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." This strength of God is that which will ultimately lead to the exercising of his sovereign will over the political climate on earth. And we can say, thank you, God, for your strength. He will make all this mess right someday. And Mary was living under Roman rule and their proud hearts. And she knew that God was the sovereign creator and sustainer and the one who was strong enough to be stronger than Caesar. She understood that and expressed that. Attribute number 7, God is righteous and just. Mary sings of God in his perfect righteousness, setting up some and taking down others. He is just in all that he does, including selecting Mary herself to be honored in this very unique and special way. That is, of course, verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Attribute number 8 is God is caring. Verse 53 says, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. God cares. God provides for the hungry. He does. He fills his own with good things. And Mary had and was at that moment experiencing that very thing. God was good to her. He cared for her as a person. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment of this will be in the Lord's millennial kingdom when all who are residents of that glorious place and time will receive all good things from Jesus Christ himself. God is caring. Attribute number nine, God is faithful. Verses 54 and 55 say, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Here we see Mary expressing her absolute trust in God as the faithful one, the hope of Israel. And amazingly, the hope of Israel was to be born into this world through her in a few months. In the months ahead, God kept and God keeps his promises to us. And she knew he would keep those promises. He is faithful. Yes, to Israel. Yes, to Mary and Joseph. And yes, to you and me as well. The Messiah was about to be born into the realm of mankind, just as the prophets had said. God is faithful. Mary expressed that at the end of this song. Ultimately, his faithfulness provided the sacrifice, a substitute for you and for me and Mary, so that we might be saved. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 say, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Have you personally received him? Jesus Christ? If so, we invite you to participate with us in the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. I guess we need to consider the lessons we learn from this delightful young lady who yielded her life without hesitancy to the very hand of God. If you're saved, I challenge you to make that decision. It won't mean the same thing it did to Mary, but it may mean something incredible in your life as well and in the lives of others. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord touches my heart. I hope it does yours as well. Let's open our songbooks to One Day, number 595, and sing that in closing. I'd like to ask everyone to stand as we close by singing this hymn, 595. 595, One Day.
as the last. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Carried my sins far away, rising he justified. Forever, one day is coming, oh glorious day.
And all God's people said, Amen.